Phoenix FM. It's the final day of the Latitude Festival, and I'm here with the I'm at the BSL Access Information Hub. First off, Marie's here. Now, there are a few people here. We'll explain what's going on, but Marie's here first. And Marie, you're in charge here, are you?
Yes, so I work for Performance Interpreting. We're a company that provides sign language interpreters for the music and entertainment industry across the UK. And this is our first time at the festival this year.
And you're here with Abigail and also Joe. Now, Joe is currently signing on behalf of Abigail, that's correct.
Yes, Abigail is our coordinator. She's my co-worker. And Joe is interpreting for her, so she'll be voicing what Abigail's saying.
And now, Marie, I was just about to talk to Joe. That's not the done thing, though, as such, is it?
That's correct. So when an interpreter is interpreting for a deaf person, they're impartial. So they're there for access and to facilitate access for the deaf person.
So if you see anyone who's interpreting, the key thing is don't interrupt.
Exactly. You should be focused and eye contact should be for the deaf person. But Abigail can answer that better because obviously she experiences it as a deaf coordinator.
So what I can now get are Abigail's views because Joe is the voice for Abigail.
Yes, what's your question?
Is this your first time at the Latitude Festival?
No, so actually I was here last year and that's why we've decided to set up this service because as a deaf person I felt that the access wasn't great. There are provisions here for people, wheelchair users and various other disabilities and needs, but there were no choices and options for members of the deaf community. So I'd approached Festival Republic and noticed that there wasn't anything set up. And that's when I'd got together with Marie and Performance Interpreting to see how we could improve the service. And we were invited here this year and Marie has set up access using experienced performance interpreters and we've coordinated and collaborated together with all of our views to make sure that the service is provided in to a great standard. There have been a lot of barriers, as I mentioned before, in the past, but I think we've all worked together quite strongly as a team.
And you can grow from here then, is that the plan? This is some like the beginning of something big?
Oh yes, definitely. I think over the last few days, obviously with everything you're going to have teething problems and there are going to be issues that you'll discover, but it's been great to be able to work with Festival Republic and the organisers here to notice those gaps and to realise that deaf and disabled people have different needs. So to be very proactive and around supporting those needs, I think is a start. And it's not just here, it'll be other festivals, concerts, and really all venues should be proactive and operating the same ethos.
And when you say it like that, the question is, why isn't this happening more?
Well, exactly. I think it centres around awareness. I think a lot of people do talk about disability access, but deafness is in part an invisible disability. I think the more awareness there is of BSL, the more it's integrated within our school systems, that the language is understood, I think there'll be more natural awareness. And I think it's all about exposure, which at the moment there isn't any.
At the moment, there's such misconceptions regarding the deaf community. And that's one thing we're trying to fight for. So we're offering deaf awareness training as well to the music industry, entertainment industry, so they can understand the varying needs of the deaf community. Also, when we first started, there were maybe two accessible venues in the country that we felt that had appropriate access. We now have over 40, and we now have over 40 festivals. So we're working across the country trying to prise doors open. But we're really trying to work with the festivals for getting them to understand the deaf community's needs, trying to work together to build bridges and develop the service further for the future.
And a legal requirement really is just to have the telecoil capability, for example, which just doesn't touch it at all, does it?
The legal requirements, that's where we are campaigning at the moment. We would need stronger, robust laws. At the moment we have the Equalities Act, which has reasonable adjustments, But if you ask someone, well, what's a reasonable adjustment, they may say, oh, a deaf person can bring a carer. But a carer doesn't provide you access to a performance. So then we need performance interpreters. We need highly skilled interpreters with experience in delivering music and reflecting artists. But it's not enough to just have an interpreter. You need to think about speakers on platforms, access platforms. You need to think about lighting. So our main aim is that the moment across the country, it's very makeshift. We want it embedded. We want a professional services set up so that deaf people don't feel like second-class citizens, that it's an afterthought. It needs to be planned for, and we can work together with the music industry to develop the service further.
Just to come in on Marie's point, actually, deaf people also have a variety of needs, and there's a eclectic way of communication that's happening here. So you can't just provide a service like stage text, for example. For some deaf people, English isn't their first language, BSL is their native way of communicating. So you need to be able to match that need, and interpreters do that. They can adapt and they will provide that service, and they'll work with the deaf community to be able to match their needs.
And it's not party political either, is it? Because anyone, a politician, will just say we can invest money, we talk about modern technology, but it's actually having someone saying, no, this is what we physically need.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Funding for technology is one aspect, but what do we do when that technology breaks down? There needs to be that human connection. Technology will only translate the words where there's emotion, there's tone, there's infliction within interpreting, and especially in music as well. So to be able to get that across so that the deaf person is integrated and involved in that performance is key.
I would say one of our biggest challenges is to get funding and budgets. A lot of festivals and, the entertainment industry, you know, it's been a blanket approach to disability. And what we need them to recognise is that deaf people's needs are very separate, and they should be funded for just the same way as people with physical disabilities. Previously, it's been very informally set up. There's been volunteers, but the quality of access has been very poor. So for us coming in, we're trying to really reinforce the point that deaf people shouldn't have to rely on volunteers. They want a professional service. They're paying fans. They're paying to come to the festival. They should have a professional service delivered, and that needs to be paid for. So really, we should have a budget, and it should be planned for just the same way as people with physical disabilities.
And again, to add to that, I think there's a lot of money spent and provision on having the access for people's needs. But because our needs are sensory, there needs to be a provision that matches that sensory need of access. And that is interpreting. I think a lot of people talk a lot about equality, and they think perhaps having a stage would suffice. But what we're talking about is equity. People need the support relevant to them so that they are matched with the access for all. If you think of equality, you can give everybody on a stage, for example, but you need to be considerate of the varying needs of the disabled person. You know, are they in a wheelchair? Do they need to have an eye line? Do they need to be able to see the stage? And that, to me, is why it's equity we're talking about, not just equality.
And as far as the Latitude Festival is concerned, coming this year, it's enhanced the enjoyment. I mean, are there any other suggestions that you can make and just plans for the next few years generally?
Well, following on from last year, people have already commented that there's been a huge improvement, and I think that's because there's structure in place. Members of the community can come and make requests, and they can go and see the shows and the acts that they want to attend, and they feel that they're included. We do feel that there needs to be a separate area for deaf people, because they're dancing, they want to feel the music and be involved. And of course, that creates an issue for other people that have to be seated during an entire performance because they can't access, they can't see. So I think there's more scope for discussion and to get different needs met. some deaf people, as we talked about before, have varying needs. Some deaf people, through the use of technology, can pick up the lyrics and they can hear. Some can't. Some people rely on feeling the vibrations and the tempo, the beat of the music. Some don't. So we need to be able to be positioned in a way that we can match all of the needs.
And we've had some great feedback this year. Last night, we had a deaf crowd for the headliners, The Killers. And, you know, the feedback we've got is some of the deaf audience have never been to a festival before or to a festival that's mainstream, either sort of solely for deaf people. So they didn't think they enjoyed music. And actually the feedback last night, they were dancing, they were rocking it out. And it's because they had that, you know, high standard of interpreting, good access, good quality access, which meant that they can enjoy the music, enjoy the experience just like everyone else. And that's what our aim is that deaf people can be immersed in the experience and feel the magic just like everyone else.
Exactly the same. In terms of even doing this interview, it's opened my eyes completely. And really, you want to be in a position where everyone can understand it, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think often deaf people will just accept what they get. And I think really what helps is if the hearing community are encouraged to learn a bit of sign or, you know, even small things like gesturing. I think really the power will come from people being more aware. And if that awareness is in place, inclusivity will follow.
Well, look, thank you both very much for talking to us at Phoenix FM. Abigail, I've got to ask one last question. In terms of the festival itself, you'll be back next year, I take it?
Oh, yes, definitely. I will be at any festival I can get myself to.
Just one more point.
Yes,
Not just we're not just focusing on the interpreting service and access. We would like deaf performers to also be able to provide a service here as well. So our long-term aim is to have deaf-led theatre, performances, comedy, poetry. You know, it should be open to everyone.
And it can only grow. As I say, my awareness just with this conversation, I'm sure anyone listening as well, being aware that that's half the battle, isn't it? It's so easy just to say we'll invest money, new technology, and that's what you're hearing all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to add to that, to anybody listening, if you're planning an event, just try to be a bit more aware around the access provision that you're looking to get. You know, be aware that there are interpreters out there that can provide the access for members of your deaf community.
Lovely. Thank you very much for talking to Phoenix FM. Thank you.